everyone, and welcome to the new episode of the HSG Student Podcast. My name is Sira, and together we are looking for exciting stories and personalities from the HSG.
Hi, alle sammen, og velkommen til denne lidt specielle podcast episode. This was my attempt to speak Danish and should mean hello everyone and welcome to this special podcast episode. If any Danes are listening, please be patient with me, but reach out if you're willing to give me Danish lessons. Although I have been learning Danish with Duolingo for almost a year now, I realized that the language is a bit more difficult than I initially expected. But before I go into more detail, I need to provide some context. I've mentioned it briefly in recent episodes. This semester, I am not in St. Gallen at the HSG as usual, but in Denmark, more specifically in Copenhagen, on an exchange semester. I'm studying here at Copenhagen Business School. With its 2025 title as the world's most livable city, Copenhagen is firmly in the global spotlight. But what is it that makes Copenhagen so livable? Is it the culture, the social or healthcare system, the food, or all the bakeries? There are many studies exploring this topic. It's worth doing a little research. In this episode, however, I don't want to bore you with lots of theoretical explanations, but instead give you a practical insight into life and studying in Copenhagen. In previous episodes, I have repeatedly welcomed exchange students who are doing their exchange in St. Gallen. Now the tables have turned, and I will show you what it is like from the perspective of HSG students on exchange. In order to at least partially uphold the tradition of welcoming guests in each episode, there will also be snippets from conversations with others. In this episode, I will talk about studying at CBS in general. CBS is the Copenhagen Business School. My experiences and insights, but also my motivation and the application and planning process. This is particularly relevant or interesting for listeners who are also considering going on exchange. But before we really get started, I would like to uphold another tradition. I always ask my guests to introduce themselves in one word at the beginning. Today, we are doing things a little differently, so I have asked various exchange students here at CBS to describe Copenhagen in one word. Listen yourselves.
Diverse.
Livable.
Cozy.
Respectful.
Lively.
Peaceful.
Caring.
Inspiring.
Serenity.
Steady.
Of course, I have thought about this too. Although it seems to be the obvious answer, I come up with the word hygge. Hygge stands for the Danish way to live well. However, there is no direct translation for the word. For me, it really is a feeling, and we will come back to that. Let's start with the very beginning. The question why I chose Copenhagen as my exchange destination. There are a lot of partner universities we can choose from when studying at the University of St. Gallen. So the choice is pretty demanding because there's a lot of very interesting universities and of course countries or even continents to choose from. First of all, it was really about curiosity. I heard a lot about Copenhagen and Denmark or the Nordics in general, and I wanted to know what it is all about. I've actually never been to the Nordics, so neither Denmark, Finland, Sweden, or Norway, but I heard a lot about it, and I really wanted to find out or get a personal impression of what it is to live there and not only to make holidays. And a very relevant point for me was culture. Danish culture seemed to be pretty special and based on a general thought of solidarity. Here I would like to quote a little story. In the very beginning of the exchange, we could make a boat or a canal tour, and our guide told us about the two national anthems of Denmark, because they don't only have one, they have two. They have a royal national anthem and a civil one. The first one is Kong Christian stod ved høyen mast. So King Christian stood by the lofty mast, and later this was followed by Det er en yndig land, there is a lovely country. The fun fact I would like to share with you that our canal tour guide mentioned is that each anthem represents a different part of Denmark's identity. Kong Christian is the older royal anthem that honors the monarchy and Denmark's naval past, so pretty much like a lot of national anthems do. However, the younger one, the Der Indingland, is the people's anthem. It's a celebration of the nation itself. And there the focus lies more on sticking together instead of fighting and winning wars. Together, these two national anthems reflect how Denmark balances, or at least tries to balance, its royal traditions with its modern democratic spirit. And I really thought that was pretty interesting, and you could feel that. Happiness is another aspect why I chose to study in Copenhagen for one semester, because I feel like, at least that's in my personal impression in Switzerland, that's something we sometimes lack. We are very privileged, but people also tend to be annoyed very quickly and to not really value what we have. So I wanted to find out whether Denmark really is a happier country and what do people do in order to be happier. It cannot really be the sunlight because the days are shorter. That's something I really realized. While the weather and also the temperatures are very similar to Switzerland, especially in the months of November and December, you could feel that the sun's only here for a few hours each day. Of course, this gets worse, so to say, if you go further up north, for example, in Stockholm or even in upper Norway, you could really see that the sun's only setting for 3 hours or something per day. But even in Copenhagen, which is not that much up north, it got dark pretty early. This, of course, naturally affects the mood. How can it be that the people still are somewhat happy? Because I would say that by now, of course, there's always exceptions and you can never say that everyone is happy all of the time. But I could feel that generally people seem to be more calm, relaxed and also more happy. Maybe it's about the bakeries, because of course you could also call Copenhagen Europe's capital of bakeries. When we talk about bakeries, which is a very good topic for me, there are broader implications behind that. Because if we look at this coffee shop and bakery culture people are living, it's really about coziness. It's about spending time with your loved ones. And of course, maybe it's also adapting to the weather conditions. If it gets dark, people will just meet up in the cozy bakeries or coffee shops to spend their afternoons. So coziness, or the feeling of hygge, is very dominant. And I would say that is already a key element when it comes to the whole happiness aspect. I will surely come back to this whole happiness and culture aspect later in this episode. But I would like to mention another reason why I chose Copenhagen. It's basically just to stay in Europe because I really wanted friends and family to be able to visit me, which they also did. And so I could even be a local tour guide. All in all, it was also pretty intuitive of me to choose Copenhagen to study. And now looking back on the whole semester, I don't have a single thought of regret. So now I would like to focus on the bit more organizational and technical aspects of my exchange when talking about my semester in a nutshell. Beginning with the application process, if you study at the University of St. Gallen, you can choose 7 of the partner universities and you can prioritize them from 1 to 7, of course. After some weeks, they then will be allocated and you will find out where you can go on exchange. And I was very happy that I actually got my first choice, which was CBS. And in my case, CBS, my partner university, reached out to me pretty soon after I found out that I could study there. Overall, it was very uncomplicated. Of course, here I cannot really talk about every exchange because this differs from university to university. But from a CBS perspective, the communication was very clear and I did not really have troubles understanding everything. Then we were able to do some bidding because, of course, we also need to choose courses we could take on exchange. And in Copenhagen or with CBS, you get to choose 4 courses because each course equals 7.5 ECTS. So this results in 30 ECTS in total. And for each course you choose, you can also choose an alternative. This might be a little bit confusing. And here is my first tip for maybe future exchange students. Be flexible when it comes to your course choices, because it can happen, especially with finance courses, that you do not get the course you wanted to get. That happened to me and I was a bit surprised by that because I just simply did not expect it. So you should also carefully choose your second choices. However, you can still change or switch courses once your semester has already begun, which might be needed or necessary because of timetable overlaps or something like that. I chose a variety of courses. So I had, for example, the mandatory course microeconomics, but I also had a philosophy course or a course that was more in the field of sociology. Of course, mixed with business aspects. My personal highlight was a course called Strategic Management of Innovation and Technology, since I'm very interested in this whole innovation and, of course, technology field. And I could really learn and profit a lot from this course. If some people actually consider studying at CBS, of course, I will also say that again later, you can always reach out to me. I'm very happy to help. I don't want to go into too many details when it comes to the whole bidding and organization aspect here, because that might be a bit boring. But of course, you can always reach out. Overall, CBS has a very big variety of courses. And even if you don't get the courses you want, there is a lot of very, very interesting alternatives. So it's not the worst thing ever. Generally, talking of the whole immigration aspect, Denmark is part of the EU. So it's not too complicated for Swiss or EU citizens to move to Denmark. There is also some details. You will find out about that as soon as you get to Denmark, which are only relevant if you stay for more than 3 months, which was the case for me. But also here, it was not that difficult. I do have some friends from the University of St. Gallen that went on exchange in different continents, and they had a bit more of initial effort, because of course, if you need a visa or anything like that, that needs more time. But for Denmark, this is not the case, so I was pretty lucky when it comes to that. And my overall learnings for this whole application and organizational process is just to be flexible, because you cannot really control or predict everything. So especially when it comes to the whole bachelor planning, in the University of St. Gallen, we are very flexible in allocating our courses to the different semesters. You should have this agility and flexibility, because you might need to change something afterwards. But if you have this mindset from the beginning on, then it's not going to be too much of a problem. One thing I would say is very interesting is the whole housing situation. You can imagine if you move to a new country, even if it's within Europe or the EU, it's pretty demanding to find housing, especially from a different country. So I was still in Switzerland and I had to look for housing options in Copenhagen. And you might already have heard it, Copenhagen is not the cheapest city in the world, not at all. So when I was looking through different options, I was a bit shocked by the prices, to be honest. But then I realized that CBS offers student dormitories for international, or more to say for exchange students. And this is also what I went for. The advantages of student dorms are, first of all, the prices. Of course, they are very fair and more reasonable for students. And it's very easy to coordinate. It gives you a bit of safety, because I knew it's directly from CBS, so they will not fool me, and I know who I can contact and that it's going to be professional. And I even lived on campus. So my student dorm's name was Porzellanshaven. And this was located in the district of Frederiksberg in Copenhagen. And basically, I lived on one part of the campus, because that's another thing about CBS. It's not one central big campus in the city, but it's rather spread throughout different parts of the city. However, the main campus is in Frederiksberg, and the place where I lived was a part of this campus. So I was very lucky when it came to that. Even to get to this main campus building, it only took me about 6 or 7 minutes by bike. So overall, living in a student dorm has been a very, very nice experience for me. Also because you get to know many people. A little disadvantage of my dorm was that there was not really a common area, but still you met people on the hallways. It was super interesting, especially having a room neighbor. I really appreciated that. And so all of a sudden you live in a big building with lots of exchange students from all over the world. And this is really an experience I would recommend. And there's many different student dorms. And of course, or I'm very sure that in other countries, something similar exists as well. So I would definitely recommend looking for student dormitories. When it comes to the more academic part, studying at CBS is not that different to studying at the University of St. Gallen, at least in my experience. And of course, this disclaimer is important. I can only talk for my own experience and for the courses I chose. So it's very, very much possible that for other courses, this would not be true. But overall, you could feel that both are European business schools, and the quality of education and the academic level in CBS is also very, very good. Even the teaching style is similar. So Also, you do have lectures where a professor is talking. It is pretty interactive and often the classes are smaller. But what I found interesting about CBS is that the students cannot really choose their courses, but they rather choose one specific bachelor degree, for example, international business. And then you are from the beginning on in this international business bachelor. And your courses are clearly allocated for each semester. Only in the fifth semester, people could go on exchange. And if they don't go on exchange, they can freely choose their courses at CBS. But apart from that, there is not really a choice, meaning if you're an exchange student at this university, you will choose courses from different bachelor degrees. And so for me, for example, one course was from this international business bachelor, but another course was from a sociology bachelor. This was also quite an experience because you could really see the differences between the different bachelor classes. Some were bigger and some were very small. And you get to know many different people, which was also a little demanding because, of course, everyone already knows each other. And then for exchange students, it's a little bit hard to interact. And this is overall a topic I would like to mention right now. Getting to know exchange students is super easy, but trying to connect to locals, that's what's hard. And this is another parallel to University of St. Gallen. Maybe you remember the episodes I recorded with exchange students at University of St. Gallen. They all mentioned that they had a great time. They met a lot of exchange students, but not so many HSG students. Also for me, being an HSG student, I don't really meet a lot of exchange students on campus because we either don't have the same classes or they are already in their groups and we are already in our groups, which is not negative. It's not that we don't want to, but I feel like this is a normal mechanism. And this also was something I realized in Copenhagen. So it was pretty hard to interact with the locals, not because they don't want to, but because they already have their established friends groups. And of course, also the language. As you can imagine, I am learning Danish, but that's not even close to be enough to understand Danish teaching. So I only chose courses taught in English, and there's more international students in these courses. But for the Danish people in the breaks, they would speak Danish. And so exchange students, or at least me, I didn't really want to interrupt a Danish conversation so that everyone would have to switch to English just because I'm also there. So it was easier to stick to exchange students and also to make friends with exchange students. And now coming back to the teaching, I already said the style is very similar. Even the technologies and platforms are the same as it's used at University of St. Gallen, which also made it easier for me to adapt. So it wasn't really difficult to get into the university life in Copenhagen because it was not that different. Of course, there were nuances. One aspect that really stuck to my mind was the focus on the Nordic 9. I don't know if you've heard of the Nordic 9 before. I haven't. Basically, it's a framework which is an integral part of CBS strategy. And so it's 9 principles, so to say, which Nordic people, for example, in Denmark, try to follow, not only in your university, but also in their daily life. And we, of course, got a student ID from CBS. And on the back of the student ID, everyone has a different principle of the Nordic 9. I had the 7th principle of the Nordic 9, which says you produce prosperity and protect the prosperity of next generations. And I find that very, very nice. And it makes you think. In the beginning, we had lots of presentations, welcoming presentations, information sessions by the international office of CBS. And they also introduced us to the Nordic 9. So this is something I would like to keep in my mind when coming back to Switzerland and the University of St. Gallen, because I really feel like these principles, they can be of value for everyone, not only the Nordic people. Even in the lectures, the professors would frequently refer to the principles of the Nordic 9. So this was something that I really appreciated finding out about. At CBS, there are different exam formats. Of course, exams are a part of the exchange. I personally had 2 4-hour written exams. So you need to go to an examination hall. This is also a bit different than in University of St. Gallen. They have a whole building where the written examinations take place. It's directly located at the beach, which is pretty nice because as soon as you go out, you can see the sea. But of course, it's also a bit stressful because, you know, if you have to go to this building, it's going to be serious. And also having 4-hour exams was a new experience for me. And I was a little concerned beforehand. But looking back, it was not that much of a problem, luckily. One challenge I faced here, and maybe this is also similar to other exchange students, is that for the written exams, we were not allowed to bring our own laptops. At the University of St. Gallen, you can bring your own laptop. We have lockdown browsers, so you really cannot cheat, but you still have your own device. For CBS, you will have to use the computers provided by CBS. And I do have a German keyboard, so it's the QWERTY keyboard and not the QWERTY. So the Y and the Z are at a different position than for the English keyboard, but CBS had the other keyboard. So I really had to adjust to the whole keyboard situation, which sounds a bit weird in the beginning. But if you have to write many, many pages on an exam, this can be a little bit annoying in the beginning. But I also managed. It's just a little detail. Apart from the written exams, I had an oral exam and one paper for a subject. And I really liked that there was this variety. You could also choose courses which are only in the first half of the semester or which are only in the second half of the semester. So I realized that many exchange students tried to put all courses in the first half so they could really travel through Europe during the second half of the semester. However, this also meant that they had a lot of stress in the first half of the semester. So I would say for everyone planning to go on exchange, you should maybe think about how you want to balance it out and how you want to split your time. But for me, it was perfectly fine the way I did it. It is a little bit scary in the beginning to write exams in a new country. And of course, now everything is in English, so you don't have any German exams. But you really get into it, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it might be. So this sums up my academic organizational part of this podcast. Once again, I don't want to bore you, so I will not go into further details, but you can always reach out if you have some technical questions when it comes to the whole application process at HSG, but more also when it comes to studying in Copenhagen. Next, I would like to talk about living in Copenhagen, because there surely is a difference between visiting Copenhagen as a tourist for a few days or weeks and living in Copenhagen. During the first few weeks or even the first month, I would say I was rather a tourist. Of course, you have to explore everything. You will slowly get to know the city, the different districts. You will find out about better routes, about better transportation modes. I will come back to that in a minute. And you will also visit all the tourist spots. For example, different museums, different attractions. There are very cool castles and other architectural buildings. And me and my exchange friends, we really went through the whole city. This was very fun. But after some time, reality hits, and you also need to focus on studying and on living a normal life. Because one thing about Copenhagen, it's pretty expensive. I was in a lucky position to come from Switzerland. At least, in my opinion, it's a little bit cheaper than in Zurich, but very comparable to Swiss prices overall. So you can imagine people coming from other countries, they had a bit more troubles when it comes to the prices. Denmark has its own currency. There is Danish krona, and the exchange rate is about 8 krona equals 1 Swiss franc. This is not 100% precise, but it's also the ratio I kept in mind when calculating the prices. So you have to get used to this new currency. And overall, it is rather pricey. So going on exchange in Copenhagen doesn't really help to save money. But from a Swiss perspective, it's still feasible. People in Copenhagen don't really use cash, so only in very few occasions I saw cash, Danish cash. So you mostly use cards or something called mobile pay. Mobile pay is similar to the Swiss app Twint or maybe to PayPal. The problem is if you want to use mobile pay, you need a CPR number. This is basically the social security number. You will get that when registering. So I had that. But you also need a Danish phone number. And I did not have a Danish phone number, so I couldn't use mobile pay. Maybe there would have been an option on how to use it, but I did not figure that out. So when I used cash was for flea markets, because an integral part of living in Copenhagen is visiting flea markets. And that's what locals really do. I am not the biggest fan of flea markets, I would say. I really like secondhand stores. But when it comes to flea markets, I had experiences in the past that flea markets are rather unorganized. Also, the clothes there, they really look like they belong on a flea market or they are very old. And so I always had my troubles. But then Copenhagen changed my mind. If you are in Copenhagen, please go to a flea market. There is lots of different ones, especially on the weekends. In winter, of course, it's more limited. They will be replaced by Christmas markets, which is also not bad. But the flea markets, especially during summer or autumn season, are fantastic. The prices there are very fair and the style of the people is incredible. This is another aspect about Copenhagen. I really like, this is also subjective, but I really like the Scandinavian style, especially the Danish style. It always looks like they just threw on some clothes, but you could really see that there is a lot of effort put into it. And on flea markets, you can find very, very nice pieces. So this is one learning I had when living in Copenhagen. Now coming to the transportation aspect, there is a metro system in Copenhagen. They do have 4 main metro lines, M1 till M4. Yeah. And it basically connects the whole city, especially in the center area. You can use the metro for everything. And there is also an app called Reisekort, which you can use to just swipe in and swipe out as soon as you get off the metro. Copenhagen is really a bike city. There is a lot of bike routes and roads even. There is bridges that are designed for bikes. And you can really see that this whole city is designed for people to bike instead of use the car. I would say there's more bikes than cars in the city, which I really like. And Denmark is very flat, so it's not even exhausting to bike. Because coming from Switzerland, I live on a countryside, I know that if I want to bike, I really have to go up the hill and down again. Down is not the problem, but going up can be very exhausting. So an electric bike is a good idea. But in Copenhagen, that's not even necessary. I rented a bike right in the beginning from Swapfiet, which is basically a company where you can rent bikes, and it's very good. But there's of course also other providers, and there's a lot of parking lots for bikes everywhere in the city, which I really liked. You have to get into it. I never really biked in a city before, so I had to get into all the rules. But you can basically learn from the other bikers. And what I really liked is that everyone was biking, no matter the age. So very, very young people, but also very old people were biking, or the family situation. So families had like these wagons in front of the bike where the children could sit in, or even the dogs could sit in, or they had children's chairs in the back or in front of the bike. So there was no limit for that. During rush hours, you might have more traffic jam when it comes to biking than when it comes to riding a car, which I also thought was very funny, but I really liked it. So in this whole city, the amount of cars is not that bad, and I will really miss the whole biking aspect, because you feel very safe biking on these biking paths. You never need to go into the roads or onto the roads. So I really appreciated this whole biking scene. Apart from biking, people are very active in Copenhagen, I would say. Of course, what I experienced at least, especially running seems to be very popular, and I was totally in. There's lots of parks in the city. I really like the park in Frederiksberg. And if you go into the park, you will see many people on their runs. Sometimes in big groups, sometimes only 2 or 3 people together, or sometimes people on their own. But people are running everywhere, no matter the time, the weather, or the temperature. And this was impressive. So it could be pouring rain and people were still running. Sometimes even with children in like running wagons in which they pushed, or in their strollers. And that was also very interesting to observe. This seems to be very popular in Denmark. And I can also tell that's a very good experience to run in Copenhagen, especially if you run to a bakery. That makes it even better. Another aspect I need to mention when talking about living in Copenhagen is the whole social system. I don't want to go into the details because I feel like this should be coming from a Danish person to be explained a bit better. And you can, of course, do your research. The whole system of Copenhagen and Denmark is very socially based, and it's all about solidarity, at least the way I see it. I don't want to be judgmental on whether this is the best or the worst or whatever, but I just want to outline some things I observed when living there. And the first aspect is when it comes to families. There's a lot of families, especially young people with very small children, with babies. I don't think I've ever seen that many babies in a city before. Maybe it's just because I've also never stayed that long in a city. This could be, but it's something I noticed right at the beginning. And what was very interesting is that people will leave the babies in the strollers in front of coffee shops. So the parents will go into the coffee shops and they will leave their children outside. This now sounds a bit weird. It's not that they don't take care of the children, but it rather symbolizes or underlines the fact that Copenhagen is a very safe city. And of course, many of them do have baby phones, so they are checking on the babies so that everything is all right. But still, it's a fun picture if you pass a coffee shop and you can see 5 or 6 strollers standing in the line in front of this coffee shop with the parents sitting inside. In general, there's also a lot of activities or even clubs for families with children. So this city is somewhat designed for families, which I also thought was very interesting because usually people are moving out of cities as soon as they expect a child to be born. So they might move to the countryside. Of course, those cases will also happen in Denmark. I don't want to say that, but rather I feel like that in Copenhagen, there is not really the need to move out of the city because the city itself is already very children friendly. And this was a very nice artifact of the whole culture. One thing I discussed with some locals is the tax system. Of course, this is interesting for me being a business student. And also here, I don't want to go into all technical details, but here's a big difference to Switzerland. The taxes are much higher. So Danish people, they pay a lot of taxes. Also for locals, I would say this is a controversial topic. So I don't want to judge it, but this is how they basically finance their social system. On the other hand, healthcare is free for people living in Denmark and having the social security number. So whenever you need to go to the hospital, for example, you don't need to pay for that. And also education is free. Even on university level, you don't have to pay student fees, but you can freely attend university, for example, CBS. Students even get some money from the government in order to be able to finance their life. Because I already mentioned it, Copenhagen is an expensive city. And so the government really supports young people so that they can afford to study in the city, which I already also really liked. So these are simply some artifacts of this whole system. There's a lot more to talk about here, but I am not the right person to explain the details. This is something I will do more research on because there might be some aspects we could also implement in Switzerland or at least in corporate culture. Overall, living in Copenhagen, I had some personal highlights I would like to mention. I already talked about the beach. I said that the examination hall was located right at the beach. And to be honest, before going on exchange there, I didn't really think about the fact that Copenhagen is located at the sea. But it is, in fact. And within, I would say, 30 minutes by bike from Frederiksberg, you can reach the beach. And it's beautiful. I remember the first time I went there, which was in the first week of me being in Copenhagen. So it was still quite summery and warm. I was speechless when I arrived there. And you should do some research of Amager Strandpark. I'm sure I mispronounced that one, but it's beautiful and you can even go swimming. So we went into the sea. It was very cold, but it was manageable. You can see some city buildings from the sea, from the beach park, but it's still very silent and calm. And this is another aspect. I really liked these opposites you could feel in the city. So you can be in the city, and then not far away from that, you get to a very big nature preserve where there's only fields and nature, a lot of birds and wild animals. I mean, of course, not elephants or lions. That's not the right climate zone or country for that, but Nordic animals. And so we went on bike tours there, and you're really in nature. And this was a highlight for me because I am, as I already said, from the countryside. And although I really like to live in a city and it's very interesting and you have many opportunities and possibilities on what you could do, I also need nature every now and then. And this was absolutely possible in Copenhagen. Apart from the sunsets at the beach and my different tours through the nature preserves, I also enjoyed walking in the parks. The parks are beautiful. There is a lot of wild goose and birds singing. And especially if the sun is shining and the people are calmly walking through the park, the atmosphere is fantastic. What I also adapted to is that many people have cups of coffee in their hands while walking. And so, I mean, I had to immerse into the Danish lifestyle. I also started doing that. And this was a very, very nice experience. One thing about exchange students is that they will travel a lot. I feel like everyone knows that somehow, especially if people are coming from very, very far. They want to explore Europe. It might be their first time ever in Europe. And so I also realized that they are never here. They were everywhere except for Denmark, which I thought was interesting. And I still don't know how they managed to do it with university. But for me, of course, this was not really an option because there was not really a value to go to France, for example, because it's further away than from Switzerland. One trip I still did was to go to Finnish Lapland. I had to do this one. I always wanted to go to Lapland up to the north. And while Denmark is already compared to Switzerland in the north, it's not that far up. Actually, Copenhagen is about as high as England. The Erasmus community, they organized different trips. And one of them was one I joined. And we really went up to Finnish Lapland. We went to Levi. Maybe you know Levi from the alpine skiing. They do have races in Levi. We went there by bus and by ship, more to say by ferry. And it was very intense to get there. It's very far. And I didn't really think that through. But we managed. And the nature in Finnish Lapland is incredible. You cannot really find words for that. And I would highly recommend everyone to do this trip to Lapland at some point, if that's possible for you. What I really liked and was also surprised about is that the roads were empty. We boarded with ferry from Stockholm and went to Helsinki. And then from Helsinki, we drove further by bus to get to Levi. And the roads were really, really empty. You could see a lot of snow. We were very lucky that it was snowing the week before we went there, but not many cars. And sometimes we drove for hours without seeing a single car, which I didn't really understand because we were not that far off civilization. And without talking about every detail of this trip now, the biggest highlight was to see the Northern Lights. We were very lucky. We spotted the auroras twice, actually on two different days. And this is breathtaking. Interestingly, auroras look nicer on photos than in real life. I don't know. I never thought about it, but you can see it better on a picture. However, the atmosphere in real life is, of course, better, and I will never forget about that. This trip also offered the opportunity for me to get to know more people from different countries, and traveling with people, for example, from New York, from South Korea, and from China or Japan or Hawaii really opens your horizon, and you also lived together. So this helps you even more to understand the different cultures and to broaden your own horizon and to truly understand the way other people are living. One last highlight I would like to mention is my participation in Open Innovation Copenhagen, a multi-day innovation challenge that took place in October. The theme was climate and water, and I worked in a team of five on a catapult project in the field of urban development. We worked on the Danish city of Esbjerg, which is characterized by social and environmental problems. It was, for me, particularly inspiring to be part of a team of master's students who had a technical or climate focus in their studies. In other words, not business students. This interdisciplinarity enabled us to combine our different perspectives into a unified solution, and we even ended up winning the challenge, which made me very happy. I learned about concepts such as democratic design and worked in an environment where inclusion is central. So I took a lot away from this challenge. It has had a lasting impact on my thinking, and I would like to continue working in interdisciplinary teams in the future. These clearly were some personal highlights of my exchange, apart from, of course, tasting all of the different kinds of pastries in Copenhagen. Now you had to listen to me for a long time. And for me, it's important to mention that I was not the only student from the University of St. Gallen that went on exchange at CBS, but there were others as well, of course. Annalena was another student. She's a master's student doing the Master in Strategic International Management, the SIM, at the University of St. Gallen. She went with me on exchange. So I also wanted to ask her about her experience, that you don't only get my point of view, but also hers. Listen up to what she had to say in our conversation about the exchange here at Copenhagen.
Hi, everyone. I'm Annalena. I'm a SIM student and now my third master's semester, but I already did my bachelor's at high school. So it's now quite some time and spending 5 years at high school already.
What made you decide to do an exchange at CBS?
Yes. So for me, it was a bit of the interplay of several factors. So first of all, of course, the city. Like that was for me personally the decisive point, because in my bachelor's, I did the Asia term and I kind of had the feeling I want to stay in Europe. I want to do something a bit more local and have the chance to experience another European culture where I could also maybe imagine myself living in after my master's. So that was the main motivation. And then Copenhagen felt like the perfect mix of like being able to live in the Nordics, to explore Copenhagen, and also to use it a bit of a travel hub to travel to other Nordics. And of course, also CBS is quite a renowned uni, so it made perfectly sense. And I put it quite high on my preference list and I luckily got it. So yeah, I'm super happy with it.
How have you been enjoying Copenhagen so far?
I enjoyed it so much. It's honestly such a great time, especially like getting to know all the new people. I'm living here in like an exchange dorm, which is called Nimbus Parken, and it's a bit mixed with master and bachelor students. And it's super nice because whenever you feel like going out, you can, but also you don't have to. So it's very nice to meet new people and like-minded ones, and also hang out a bit with the other master students. So that's super nice. And I'm really having a bliss of a time here.
And now, of course, please describe Copenhagen in one word.
Hygge. So I think it's my new favorite word I learned. It describes basically, you cannot translate it one-on-one in English or German, but it describes the whole concept of coziness and like no worries. And like, yeah, it could be like a cup of tea. It could be hanging out with friends. It could be anything that basically makes you happy and cozy. And I just love the whole concept. And I have the feeling that represents Copenhagen quite well.
For you, was it challenging at first or did you settle in quickly?
I'd say it was rather quick because the culture, like comparing to Switzerland, it's not that different. So also like CBS and Denmark in general makes it very easy, I would say, to settle in. So there was not really a culture shock, maybe just a little bit temperature wise, because when I got off the plane and like coming from Zurich with 35 degrees in August, it was like 20 degrees here and I suddenly realized, okay, summer is really over, because I knew it's still like the Nordic summer. But for me, honestly, I froze from the moment I set my foot on the ground. So yeah, that was, I think, the only thing that took me a bit of time to adapt, I'd say. But otherwise, it's very easy. Yeah.
What has been your highlight so far?
I'd say trying all the different bakeries and like hype food spots, getting the cinnamon buns and like cardamom buns, and finally understanding the discussion between the two, which one is better. And like, yeah, in general, just experiencing the whole coffee house culture and sitting down with friends and just relaxing and not having that much stress in life, I'd say. And I'd say from Copenhagen itself, I just experienced it last weekend, actually. It's a bit further out, but it's called Dyrhavn. And it's like an area where there are like, it's kind of a forest, but a very big area where like many animals are just freely wandering around, and you can go there and visit them. And it's super cute. It's like the perfect autumn activity if you want to have a nice walk and like experience a bit of the nature here and just having a calm Sunday, basically. It's amazing. So I'd say those two things are my highlights so far.
Important question. Cinnamon roll or a cardamom bun?
I'd say I'm rather on the sweet side, so I'd stay with the cinnamon. But actually, I like both. I think I have the feeling both are good. Depends on your personal preference. But for me, I'd always go with the cinnamon, I guess.
What is your favorite place in Copenhagen? It can also be a cafe or something similar, of course.
I think that's a harsh one to decide. I think like Andersen and Meyert is like the hype one that I'd say is worth the hype, with like the pistachio cube, which is super nice. But I mean, for me personally, what I really appreciate is that you have like those healthy fast food chains, for example, like Joe and the Chews. I mean, it's also in Switzerland, but it's just so nice that everywhere you go, you can get a healthy snack and like a protein shake or something if you don't feel like the sugary bakery stuff. So I'd say those two things are like my go-tos when I really crave a treat. I mean, just depends if I want to have some sugar or not.
Now, finally, do you have any tips for HSG students who would also like to participate in an exchange program?
Absolutely. I'd say, I mean, first of all, I would always recommend doing an exchange, even though if you might have already done one, or if you just think about if you should do it, I'd say you should do it. And it doesn't have to be like Copenhagen, Denmark, just like in general, the whole experience is so enriching. And like, I think it's a perfect balance to like the high school studies to have this whole international experience and perspective, because a lot of stuff works differently. Even though it might be culturally not that much of a shock, still it's super nice to experience another healthcare system, another political system, or also like another education system. So that's super enriching. And talking about Copenhagen, I'd say, first of all, it's very nice organized with student housing. I think that's definitely something to consider if you don't want to have much hassle around it. Copenhagen is definitely a nice choice, also location-wise, because there's a lot of student housing. And even if you don't get one, there's a lot of private housing you can apply for. And I don't know anyone who had like really struggles with finding something, which is very nice. And in general, applying for Copenhagen, it's quite popular from what I heard. So if you want to do it, I would definitely put it on like my preference list quite high, I'd say.
Annalena summed it up perfectly. And the key message of this episode I want to give you on the way is that it is absolutely worth it to live in a new country for at least some months. If you get the chance to go on exchange or to work in another country, you should definitely take it. You grow beyond yourself and recognize patterns of thought and behavior that you hadn't noticed before. In particular, interacting with people from all over the world is incredibly valuable because we all live in a bubble and it's important to get out of that bubble once in a while. There is, of course, much more to say, but I hope that you have gained a good insight into what it is like to be an exchange student in Denmark and to live in this country. On that note, I will conclude this chapter and look forward to recording further episodes on site at the University of St. Gallen in the new semester. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this special episode. Perhaps some of you will incorporate a little of the hygge spirit into your everyday lives. I can highly recommend it. With that in mind, see you next time on the HSG Student Podcast. Or as they would say it in Denmark, vi ses.